Good morning, Reformation Covenant Church. Very good to see you. I cannot express adequately how happy I am to be here this morning. It's been a privilege to get to know you all over these last 2.5 years, but this is a very, very special day. And again, very glad to be here. I bring you greetings from the saints, your brothers and sisters at King's Cross Church in Wenatchee, who love you vicariously through me as I pray for you often from the pulpit and at our men's prayer meeting during the week. And so they you know how it is as you fall in love with the people that you pray for on a regular basis. And so I love you, they love you, and again, glad to be here this morning. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read the first few verses, and then we'll be turning to the book of Thessalonians this morning to kind of flesh this out a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'll begin reading the first verse. These are the words of God. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. ESV says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glad day. We thank you for the privilege of gathering every week to worship you and to place our hope once again in your mercy. Father, we pray that you would open our minds, that you would open our souls to you as your word is read and preached. Father, change us in this gathering. We beg you for Jesus' sake, and amen. Turn back a few pages to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, the first one. Peter, in his epistle, exhorts these people who have been scattered by the persecution, and then specifically addresses the elders, the shepherds of God's flock. You say, well, where did Peter get that idea? If you recall, in the closing chapter of John's Gospel, some of the very last words that Peter heard from Jesus. Okay, remember, Jesus looked at Peter and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, of course I love you." And he said, "Feed my sheep, Peter. Shepherd my sheep, Peter. Do you love me?" "Yeah, Lord, yes, I love you." Then Jesus said, "But feed my sheep, shepherd my sheep, Peter. Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, of course I love you." And then Jesus once again, "Well then, feed my sheep, Peter. Shepherd my sheep, Peter." We have a very idealized version of sheep these days. You know, what's the first thing that comes into our mind when we think about sheep? You know, these fluffy white creatures bouncing around in the meadows somewhere. To the people who first heard these words, okay, if there are shepherds, then there are sheep. They knew full well, okay, the orneriness of sheep. The hymn writer put it well, okay, we are sheep, and we are sheep who wander, but the hymn writer reminds us that we are the sheep who love to wander, okay? So we are constantly seeking after those things, running after those things that hurt and harm us, eating those poisonous foods, entangling ourselves in the barbed wire. I had a friend, I lived out in Quincy for 10 years, and had a friend there that when his kids were growing up, they raised animals for FFA and to show at the fair. And for several years in a row, 6 or 7 years in a row, they raised sheep. Then I went out to visit Marv one afternoon, and I noticed that there weren't any sheep anymore, and instead there were pigs in the pen. And so I went over to Marv and I said, well, what happened to the sheep? I thought you were sheep people. And he just shook his head and he said, never, ever again, ever. I said, and I still had the white fluffy things bouncing in the meadows in my mind. And he said, Gene, they are so stupid. He said, I got so frustrated because they'd start eating something that was poisonous. They'd get tangled up in the barbed wire. And then as I went to help them extricate them from this thing that was hurting them, they would do nothing but fight against me. And they'd turn and bite me as I was trying to help them. We're done with sheep. We're raising pigs and it's wonderful. Pigs and okay, yeah. The hymn writer's right, okay? We're the sheep who wander, and if we're honest, okay, we're the sheep who love to wander. And God knows that, and so He has, in His kindness, He's given us shepherds. And really, we might say under shepherds of the great shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that great shepherd of the sheep looked at Peter and he said, Peter, if you love me, then you will shepherd my sheep. You will feed my sheep. We have here in the book of 1 Thessalonians really a wonderful window into the heart of a shepherd. And I'd encourage you shepherds to listen to this message this morning as an exhortation to what you are to do here at Reformation Covenant Church. And the rest of you, listen to this carefully so that you know how to pray for those that God has given you to be your shepherds. Paul wrote this, so this is one of Paul's first letters. It's written to a church that he, as we will see this morning, loved intensely. Paul loved intensely the saints gathered in Thessalonica. It was written to a church that was undergoing trial and persecution. If you recall from Acts 16 and 17, Paul goes to Philippi and preaches there. He is arrested and beaten and then released the next day. And if you recall, there was the conversion of the Philippian jailer and his family. They're baptized. And they immediately proceeded on to Thessalonica, where Paul again preached. And this time in Paul's preaching, Luke records for us that a great multitude of the devout Greeks were converted in Paul's preaching, and not a few of the prominent women in the city. And so that created a great uproar. The city's turned upside down, and they had to move on very quickly to Berea. And so this letter is written to a congregation, to a church that was undergoing trial and persecution, even as he was addressing them. And lastly, it was written by a man who had been transformed by the revelation of Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. Think back to Paul's conversion and that great light struck him down as he traveled to Damascus, and the great shepherd of the sheep who appeared to him. And you recall Jesus' question to Paul on the road to Damascus. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Right? Not, hey, Saul, why are you going after my people over there? No, the great shepherd of the sheep, identifying himself with the sheep, said to Saul, why do you persecute me? You go after whatever you do to them, you have done to me. So intense, so personal was his identification, the great shepherd with his people. So we're going to look at 9 windows into the shepherd's heart, and don't worry, we'll go through them quickly here. Okay, first one. Look at verse 1. First window into the shepherd's heart. Shepherds minister together to the sheep entrusted to their care. Chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Paul is the super apostle. Paul, if you go by book count, then he wrote more of the New Testament than anybody else. If you go by word count, then he's just slightly behind Luke as the greatest author of the New Testament. He is the super apostle, the apostle of all apostles, and yet he very quickly said, okay, this letter is from Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians. I mean, if anybody had a right just to put himself alone forward, it was Paul. And yet he quickly identifies himself as a partner with Silvanus and Timotheus. Why? Because shepherds minister together to the sheep entrusted to their care. God has been very kind to you here at RCC. You have a multiplicity of shepherds to oversee your souls, your lives, your families here at this church. And it is incumbent upon them, okay, to work together, to minister together, not as individuals, but as a session together. It is, and I know, and you know this already, that, and it's kind of, it'd be kind of, well, I'll just say it, hilarious, if you took your elders, just stood them up, the six of them standing there, and you go, okay, looking at them, what do these guys have in common? I can't think of a single thing, okay? And isn't that wonderful, okay? That's God's protection for you. That's God's provision for you, and then calls these diverse men to work together as they minister to you. And so it is their job to bring their thoughts and their concerns and their dreams and their plans together in session, and then every session, like every family, should at that moment be filled up with arguments, what I like to call holy arguments, as session members defer to one another as they make decisions. No, you. No, we're going to go with what you say. No, really, you this time. They should argue like that, those holy arguments. Secondly, we see that shepherds not only minister together, but they also pray for the sheep entrusted to their care. Look at verse 2. Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." Wow. "We give thanks to you, to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." And then look over in chapter 3 and verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. So he says that shepherds pray constantly. Okay, we pray always for you all, and they pray for all the sheep. In other words, there needs to be some kind of a systematic way that shepherds, that elders, that pastors are praying for the flock. There's lots of different ways to do this. Joel, who is our other local elder at King's Cross, every week we have an assignment in our session meeting to reach out to and to have a face-to-face conversation or at least a phone call with the family to find out how things are going and what their needs are. And then the first thing that we do in our session meeting, understanding that our agendas are full and we don't want this to get squished out at the end, the very first thing that we do is pray for the people that God has entrusted to our shepherd's care. Because we are to pray for all of the sheep. We are to pray for them constantly. So we pray for them together in session. Look, again, Paul says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you." So we pray together. We pray with the sheep. You know, I think one of the most hollow phrases in all of Christendom these days is, and you've all said this before, "Hey, I'll pray for you." And then we never do, right? Okay. Well, if you have the opportunity to say that to somebody, then you should. And elders, first and foremost of all, if you have the opportunity to say that, well, don't say, "I will." Just grab them by the arm and say, "I'm going to pray for you right now." So we pray together, and we pray with, and then we pray for. It is our job as shepherds, the flocks entrusted to our care, to pray for you all and to saturate our prayers with our concerns for you. We pray together, we pray with, and we pray for. And he says we pray fervently, night and day, praying exceedingly. Joel Penfold is our other local elder at King's Cross Church in Wenatchee, and I dearly love this man. If the only thing that Joel did at King's Cross was pray with me and pray for the saints at King's Cross, then we would be well served by his oversight at King's Cross. People in our congregation, every time I tell them, and I just their faces light up. I said, I want you to know last week in session, Joel prayed for you and their family. And they just kind of go, because they've heard him pray in the great assembly. You ever been outside in the cold and just got chilled to the bone? You come back in the house and you can't get warm. And so finally you run into the bathroom, close the door, run that hot shower, strip your clothes off and jump into the shower. And finally after about 2 or 3 minutes, that heat begins to sink in, and you're just standing there and you're just going, oh yeah. That's what it's like to have Joel Penfold pray for you. Okay. Paul said, we pray night and day exceedingly, fervently, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Shepherds minister together. They pray for the sheep entrusted to their care. Thirdly, they love the sheep entrusted to their care. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Look at chapter 2 and verse 17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, and once again, but Satan hindered us. Paul wanted to be with the Thessalonians. Now, be careful here. Paul wanted to be with the Thessalonians in their trial, in their distress, in their affliction. Okay, you know, Paul could have very easily said, okay, look, it was nice to be with you, and I understand that you're going under this horrible affliction and persecution and trial, but I have bigger fish to fry, and I just know it would be dangerous to be back there with you. And Paul, because he loved them, said, I want to be with you in your distress, in your affliction, in your persecution. I want to be with you. Shepherds love the sheep entrusted to their care. Chapter 3 and verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Paul's ministry to the Thessalonians were not just so many boxes that he was checking. He loved them, desired to be with them, even in the midst of, and especially, we might say, in the midst of their affliction, distress, and persecution. Fourthly, shepherds love to spend time with the sheep entrusted to their care. Let's go back to chapter 1 and verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Chapter 2 and verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our souls, because you were dear unto us. Chapter 3 and verse 11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. Jeremy Rennie, in his excellent book on biblical eldership, says it this way. Shepherds need to smell like the sheep. Okay? Shepherds need to smell like the sheep. John, in his second epistle, 2 John and verse 12, John said, you know, I'm happy to use the most high-tech way of communication in our day, which was the written word, okay, not email, not the interweb, just simply the written word. He said, I'm happy to avail myself of the most high-tech means that we have this day to communicate my love to you, but I'd rather be face-to-face. That's what he says. I'd rather be face-to-face. I think we have a challenge in our day, in our busyness, and in the way that we can live so many miles from one another. We should still covet that time to be face to face. Not to be satisfied with the modern means of communication that we have today, but just like John and just like Paul, to desire to be with the sheep that God has given us to care for, to love, face to face. I was with Chris Schlecht last week in Wenatchee, and he told me something I just never thought about before. He said it's only been recently, architecturally, that churches have included an office. Okay, the churches that they used to build, there was a sanctuary, and perhaps there was a fellowship hall, but there was a there was a sanctuary and a pastor's study, and then there was a fellowship hall, but there was no office. And he said, so architecturally, our churches have been telling us, and even as pastors, to be all about administration, okay? Not about worship and study. You say, well, worship and study, well, what else did the pastor do with his time? Well, okay, Sunday mornings he was there for worship. The rest of the week, half of his time he was in the study, and the rest of the half of the time he was out in the community with the sheep, face to face, to make sure that he, as the shepherd, smelled like the sheep. Shepherds love to spend time with the sheep entrusted to their care. Fifthly, shepherds minister courageously to the sheep entrusted to their care. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain, but even after that we had suffered long and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Again, Paul went to Thessalonica even after his beating and imprisonment in Philippi. Paul ministered to the Thessalonians in the midst of great conflict. Elders are to minister. Pastors are to minister. Shepherds are to minister courageously. And I just tack on one thing to this here. This courageously, and that is our duty to go after the straying sheep. C.S. Lewis, when he writes about the seven virtues, says this about courage. He said, courage isn't just another virtue. Courage is the testing point of all the other virtues. Okay? It's not just another virtue. Rather, it's the testing point for all of the other virtues. And I'll just be honest, as a shepherd of God's flock, one of the scariest things that we do is track down the straying sheep. Because Marv's right, okay? You go after the sheep to help them in their distress. Okay, now they're chewing on noxious plants. They've entangled themselves in all kinds of things that are doing nothing but hurt and harm them. And when you go to help them, they tend to turn and bite you. But we are to track down the straying sheep. What kinds of straying sheep? Sinning sheep. Saints involved in serious, open, and unrepentant sin. Wandering sheep. Saints slowly meandering out of the church, drawn away by other activities or interests. Limping sheep. Saints overwhelmed with acute hardships and struggling to keep up with the rest of the flock. Fighting sheep. Saints out of fellowship with one another and unable and unwilling to reconcile on their own. Biting sheep. Saints upset and disgruntled with individual elders or the whole session. Shepherds are to minister courageously to the sheep entrusted to their shepherd's care, which involves standing with them in persecution and affliction, which involves tracking them down as they stray away. Sixthly, shepherds teach the sheep entrusted to their care. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Shepherds need to teach the sheep entrusted to their care. Shepherds need to remember that they are ministers. Ministers of what? Of who? Ministers of God. Ministers of His Word, which means that very often we are called upon by God to say to the sheep things that they don't want to hear. But as Paul says here, we spoke not flattering words. We didn't tell you the things that you wanted to hear. We told you the things that God told us that you should hear. And then look at chapter 2 and verse 9. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable to any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his son, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Shepherds are to preach as holy vessels. Shepherds are to preach, as Paul says, exhorting, comforting, and charging. In other words, it's not a one-size-fits-all. Shepherds need to understand who they are speaking to and to make sure that they are exhorting, comforting, and charging in season. As Paul says, as a father doth his children, as a father does his children, loving, firm, and always relational. Loving, firm, and always, always relational. And he says this thing that we're to deliver here is the gospel of God. The gospel of God. We preached unto you the gospel of God, Paul says. You are witnesses. Several years ago, when I was the pastor of Trinity Church in Wenatchee, Washington, we switched over to the covenant renewal pattern of worship, which included a weekly confession of sin and a declaration of God's willingness, even, excuse me, his delight to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. As we made this switch to the covenant renewal pattern, the session addressed the congregation and said, okay, if you have any questions about what we're doing, if you think that there's something that needs to be changed or needs to be added in, please approach us as soon as you can. And we'd love to hear your feedback, your input. Over the course of about 3 weeks, I think all but a couple of the families in the church approached us, somebody in the family approached us and said something very similar to this. Okay, we're still getting used to this whole covenant renewal pattern of worship thing that we're doing. We're still, I wouldn't say that we're actually comfortable with it. I mean, we get what it's supposed to be and we get the reasons for it and everything, but there's one thing that we would like to say to you. I said, okay, what is it? Okay, you know that part where every week we privately and corporately confess our sins together as a part of the worship service? You go, okay, yeah. Okay, and then that thing that you say right after that? What is that thing that we say that right after that? That part where you look us in the eye and you tell us that God is not only willing, but that He is delighted to forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Whatever you do, don't change that part. Because at the conclusion of the best of our weeks, we come in to that assembly, we come into that congregation, dragging our sins and our sinfulness in there with us, and we long every week to hear that our sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Don't you ever, ever, ever take that part out. Paul said, he said, we preach to you the gospel of God. We preach to you the delight of Yahweh God's to forgive your sins for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of His Holy Spirit. Shepherds teach the sheep entrusted to their care. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. You know, we need to be careful with verses like this, okay? I'll tell you my tendency. I read a verse like this, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And you know what my mind does? Okay? And maybe this is you too, okay? When I read a verse like, okay, how ye ought to walk and please God, I'm immediately forming this list in my mind of all the things that I ought to do and all the things that I ought not to do so that I can walk in a way that pleases God. Huh. Well, is that biblical, Pastor Gene? Perhaps not. Psalm 147 and verse 11 says, the psalmist says, those who worship God and hope in His mercy, those are the ones that please God. Okay? Not the ones who form checklists of all the things they're supposed to do and not supposed to do and begin praying fervently for the grace of God to do all those things and not do all those other things so that they can please God. The psalmist says, you want to please God? Then you worship Him and spend every minute of your life hoping in His mercy that He has promised you in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it is to please God. Seventhly, shepherds consider the sheep entrusted to their care, their reward in this life and in the next. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 8. Paul says, for now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. Paul said, okay, if you stand fast in the Lord, then we can live another day. That's how intensely he loved them in Thessalonica. If you stand fast in the Lord, then we will draw breath for another day. Look at chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our crown, our joy. Paul says, okay, in this life, if you stand, we draw breath. And then on that great getting up day, if you still stand, that's our glory. That's our joy. That's our crown. Okay? Not the golden streets, not the gates made out of pearl, not any of that. Paul says, if you're there with us, that's our glory. That's our crown. That's our joy. Eighthly, shepherds minister depending upon God, not upon themselves. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. Now God Himself and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and with all the saints. Look at chapter 4 and verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Shepherds minister depending upon God, not upon themselves. And here's the easiest way to measure this. Okay, I mean, this sounds like it'd be really hard to figure out if we're actually doing this or not, and actually it's not. Here's the easiest way to measure this. Okay, shepherds, how often are you praying with your fellow shepherds for the flock entrusted to your care? How often are you praying for them in person? And how much do they fill up your personal prayers? That's what it is to depend upon God in prayer. Okay? Lastly, 9. Shepherds lead from the front. Look at chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Shepherds lead from the front. Okay. It's not about pointing things out over there and then telling the sheep to go there. Shepherds are to lead from the front. They are the ones that are to model receiving the Word of God, obeying the Word of God in the midst of great affliction. And then look what Paul says here, with great joy. Okay. These last 10 years have probably, easily been the hardest of my entire life. Great difficulty, great obstacles, great adversity, great loss, great grief. And as an under-shepherd, this is a great gift. Because all of the people that I minister to, all of the people that I minister to, without exception, are in the midst of great adversity, great distress, great obstacles, great loss, great grief. So it's been God's gift. It says, okay, Helsel, okay, receive my word, obey my word. In the midst of all the adversity and distress and loss and affliction and grief, with great joy, so that you can lead those entrusted in your care to do the same. And I'll say, some days by the grace of God, I have been able to do that, and on other days I have not. And on those days then I have retreated to worship Him, hope in His mercy, and there is hope. Shepherds are to lead from the front. My great uncle was a dean of religion over at SPU over in Seattle for several years, and when he was there over several times, I think over 20 times, got to lead tours over in Israel. And the second or third time that he was over there, the tour guide on the bus told everybody as they drove around through the countryside that they would probably see shepherds with their sheep. And he said it's really easy to distinguish, to figure out who the shepherd of the sheep is. He will be in front of the flock leading them down the road. He will be in front of the flock leading them down the road. And so a day or two later, they were traveling somewhere on this tour bus through the Holy Lands over there. And they saw this huge herd of sheep with a couple of guys behind them with big sticks driving them on the road before them. And as they passed by, everybody on the bus was kind of having the same thought. I thought you said that they would be in front. And so my uncle went to the tour guide and he said, well, you know, you told us a couple days ago, unless I'm remembering this incorrectly, that we would always be able to tell the shepherd because he would be in front. And the tour guide just smiled a little bit, and he said, that's true. He said, well, what about the two guys with the big sticks behind the flock? And the tour guide said, right, those are the butchers. Okay. Shepherds lead from the front, not driving the flock in front of them, but humbly receiving, obeying the word of God in the midst of great affliction, overflowing with joy. Shepherds lead from the front. Shepherds of Reformation Covenant Church, your first job, worship God and hope in His mercy. Okay? You will fail. You will fail. You will fall short every day in your ministry to the flock here at RCC. I promise you. And if you think otherwise, then, well, there's your failing. We'd call it the sin of pride, okay? So, worship God and hope in His mercy as a shepherd of God's flock. There is your strength. There is your joy. Shepherds, study to understand your duties as elders and pray for the grace that unites duty and love as you shepherd the flock entrusted to your care. Congregation, worship God and hope in His mercy. Okay. Study to understand the duties of elders so that you can pray for the grace in them that unites duty and love in their hearts of those whom God has appointed to love and lead you. And then finally, look at chapter 5 and verse 13. Verse 12. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in the work, very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem these ones that God has given you to shepherd your souls. Esteem them not for their persons, but rather for their office. And as Paul says, be at peace among yourselves. If you want to be a blessing to your elders, if you want to be a blessing to the shepherds that God has placed over you, then be at peace among yourselves. Shepherd the flock for Jesus' sake. And amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the men that You have raised up to be shepherds of this flock. And we thank You, Father, for Your for bringing Pastor Bo to this church. And so, Father, we pray that You would bless these men, not only individually, but collegially and together, as they together purpose to minister to these sheep entrusted to their shepherd's care. And Father, I pray for this congregation, for this collection of sheep who honestly love to wander. Father, I pray that You would grant them grace to esteem these men and to be at peace at one another, to the praise of Your glory, the good of Your people. All these things we ask You in the name of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, and amen.